Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another podcast for Deep Dive into Scripture. It's a podcast and a radio show, I have to say. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome, Father John.
Good morning.
Once again, we are back together, and it's in the new year now, and things are looking good for 2025.
That's right.
I hope.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're going to talk about the origin of evil.
Well, yeah. We have finished chapters 1 and 2, and that's creation, and now we are met right off the bat in chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made.
Right, so first verse of chapter 3.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so let's talk about the origin of evil. It's interesting because all of a sudden there was evil in the garden,
and
I never really thought about, how'd that happen? Where did that come from? But it makes sense the way that you talk about, and I'll just let you talk about the things that go together and
that's right.
to do that.
Yeah, we've been using the model of God creating a vast, beautiful basilica, a temple, a church, right? And yet, there's that curious fact that God built it with the elements of chaos still existing.
Sure.
The watery deep, darkness, and formless earth. And the whole idea of this temple is a paradox because of that. Okay. And the paradox comes out in Psalm 24. And let me just read you a verse from that.
Okay.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. It's good to know that God owns the earth, right?
I mean, when
you think about all the terrible things that go on, wars, rulers, potentates, causing all sorts of trouble, and they continue to do that to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, who owns this place anyways? Well, God does, and that's a good thing, especially when we've built nuclear weapons, right?
Sure, yeah.
God's the one who is in charge, and we can be thankful for that. But then he says this, for he has founded it upon the seas. Okay, that's Yamim. And established it upon the rivers. Now, when you look at those two phrases, we have the paradox of the idea of things being very firm, terra firma, mm-hmm. right? Founded, established. I mean, Danny, I was just up in the Rocky Mountains, right? And we were up on this mountain, and we looked out, and we saw the vast mountain ranges, you know, and think, wow, this is solid. And we use the word terra firma. I mean, we get a sense of solidity from creation, right?
Sure, it's sort of the foundation of everything.
That's right. But what did he founded it on? Well, the ancients in their cosmology understood that the water deep is not just out there, but the waters also went underneath the earth.
Ah, okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the chaos monster would have been, I mean, the Greeks thought that too. Poseidon, who is the water God. They looked at him as being the author of earthquakes, right?
Wow, yeah.
So earthquakes are terrifying. Have you been in an earthquake before?
Just a tiny one.
Just a tiny one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was in one tiny one too, probably the same one.
Yeah. It didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I was actually in California when I felt this.
Okay.
So the ones in Maryland were really tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
This one was bigger. Buildings were actually moving and things like that. So it was pretty scary.
So this verse shows the paradox with which creation is built. Okay, first of all, we all have a sense of solidity mm-hmm. and firmness. But on the other hand, the paradox of it being built upon chaos tells us that at any moment, we can all of a sudden lose that sense of firmness, right?
It can change very quickly.
Okay.
Like an earthquake.
Yeah. So this is the context of the fall narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Because these elements of chaos didn't have a real moral meaning in chapters 1 and 2. There's always the potentiality of chaos. But in chapter 3, we see now that these elements can take on a moral meaning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And the watery deep and darkness, sure, you know, watery deep and death and all that stuff all of a sudden comes to life now in what we call the fall narrative, which really goes from chapter 3 to chapter 11.
Okay.
Right? But here we have the temptation narrative that starts the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the origin of evil. Okay. This snake, the snake was made by God. It says that here, right?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. what the snake looked like before, we don't know, but it must have been quite a magnificent creature because it's smarter, you know, than all the other animals. And the snake is wise, subtle. And this, as we said earlier in one of our posts, is a demonophony. It's an appearance of the devil, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
A Satan. Now, where did he come from? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've said before that when God created the heavens and earth, the heavens is a spiritual realm, right?
Yep.
And the earth
is the physical.
Physical realm. And so the spirit realm and the physical realm by God's created at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God dwells in eternity. And when he made a space for creation, both the angels and the spiritual world are all created, right?
Yep, sure.
And so there is this sense that what happens in the physical world happens because something in the spiritual world is afoot.
Okay.
I mean, the ancient would say if there's war on earth, there must be something parallel going on in the spirit realm.
Right. And that's just because of the whole continuing story of that dualism and right. the binary nature of
things and how
they're connected.
Yeah.
Everything mm-hmm. is connected together.
Right. So Satan is an angel of light. Church teaches that. Scripture teaches that too. And it originated with this powerful angel. And a very, very interesting text. I'm going to read some of it for you, okay?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because it's not only describing the pride of the king of Tyre, but it's described in these cosmological terms, which a reader would have said, oh, okay, well, this king of Tyre, he's demon. He's like the great devil that fell in the spiritual world. Okay.
This is from Ezekiel, right?
The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Very precious stones was your covering. Carnelian, topaz, jasper, chrysolite, beryl and onyx, sapphire, carbuncle and emerald, and wrought in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. With an anointed guardian cherub, I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity is found in you. In the abundance of your trade, now it's getting into Tyre and it gets into their evilness. But do you see how Tyre is sort of a metaphor for something deeper and bigger?
Uh-huh.
Because obviously Tyre wasn't in the Garden of Eden, right?
Right, sure, yeah.
Yeah. So Genesis chapters 1 through 3 doesn't tell us what the origin of evil is or where it came from, but it's assumed that it originated in the spiritual realm. And that's how the ancients looked at it.
Yeah, that's how they sort of figured it out or
right.
came up with a solution
right.
for where did this evil come from, because God couldn't create it.
Yeah, if God created it, he would be evil.
Yeah.
Also, it's very important that, you know, we mentioned the word dualism. We have to be very careful of that. What did Augustine say evil was? He merely said that it was the absence of good. That means it wasn't created, therefore it doesn't have a power base in reality.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Or at least a permanent one. It's something that was sort of invented in an evil invention by the devil.
Okay. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Also, it's very important that, you know, we mentioned the word dualism. We have to be very careful of that. What did Augustine say evil was? He merely said that it was the absence of good. That means it wasn't created, therefore it doesn't have a power base in reality.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Or at least a permanent one. It's something that was sort of invented in an evil invention by the devil.
Okay.
So again, Augustine says that evil is the absence of anything good, but there's a malignancy about it because it is associated with beings, okay. Malignant beings. It's like they're carriers of some disease. Okay. And that disease is a lot like cancer. Evil cannot exist in and of itself because it's nothing, right?
Right, sure.
It has to feed on something, and it feeds on the goodness of creation. It really wants to feed on us because we are made in the image of God.
Yeah, sure.
And therefore, we are of interest because we are people of power. We are people that have value. We have worth.
And we have free will. So
and we have free will, yeah. Right? And so Satan is entering into this animal as a means to get to God.
Okay.
Because we are little gods, like we said before, created by God.
Sure.
In His image, little image bearers, and it's out of envy. All the church fathers say it's because of envy that Satan is attacking Adam and Eve and us.
Right,
so
getting to God, not even through us, but because we're made in the image of God,
right.
He gets to God by coming to us.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I think so. Yeah. That's solid theology. So that is what we have here.
What about this idea that things are connected between the spiritual and earthly physical realm? There had to be a fall in heaven for this fall to take place on earth, and they think that it happened at the same time.
That's right. Yeah. Well, good, Danny, because we materialists are not really attuned to the spiritual world, but the ancients saw the essential connection between what's going on in heaven and earth. So if there's a fall on earth, it's
connected to
a fall in the heavenly realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan's fall and our fall are really connected.
Okay.
And that's the way they would have looked at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Satan is this, by the word Satan in Hebrew is Satan, which is an accuser. That's how we experience Satan. Okay, he gets us to sin, and then he accuses us before God.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, we have.
And
yeah.
It's all to get to God, just to undermine God's great plan for humanity and for creation,
the world,
which God owns and which God loves, right?
Sure.
Okay. So Satan is this powerful spiritual being, beautiful as Ezekiel describes him, right? And I love it. Maximus the Confessor, and there's a number of other great fathers of church, even up to Hans Urs von Balthasar. Okay. He wrote this dissertation on St. Maximus the Confessor, and he concludes this whole very dense and heavy thing, Danny.
Okay, I can't even imagine.
with something very beautiful and very easy to grasp, and that is God created everything to revolve in a cosmic dance or song or music in the spheres. It's beautiful. That's why music is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one that understands
that. I understand
very
that.
Well.
Yeah.
Right. So good music is always attuned to nature. Bad music is a dissonance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Satan or Lucifer, we probably should use the word Lucifer here, the angel of light, in his pride, started his own music, like a dissonance.
Mm-hmm. Changed the melody.
He changed the melody so that the whole orchestration of God's creation is sort of altered, if you could say that, yeah. Right? With that, Satan brings his chaos into the garden and brings sin into the garden.
When that happened, when that discord or dissonance happened,
yeah,
and it changed the melody, he falls from heaven's good graces.
Right.
And sort of, I mean, not at the same time or whatever, but in some time, he falls and decides, I'm going to get at God through Adam
right.
and Eve.
Right. And Eve begins to listen to his tune.
Ah, yeah.
And the tune is autonomy.
Mm, right.
Right?
Yeah.
The tune is autonomy. And she takes the bait.
She starts to sing it.
She starts to sing it, right. And we'll go into more in our next podcast. But all of this fits, Danny, though, in the bigger scheme of things. And we always go back to it. And that is God created us in his image. And by necessity, in his image is a free will.
Yes, right.
And what we do with our will determines everything. We can do our own thing and sing our own song, or we can get in God's choir.
Sure. Become part of the heavenly chorus.
Become the heavenly chorus, and that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's will is, to become part of the heavenly chorus. He's given us a free will so that we can, with freedom, lay it at his feet and say, your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jesus Christ demonstrates that. I did not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me.
Yeah.
And so Jesus teaches us the melody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's kind of like, you know, we're in choir school here.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And that connects with Psalm 24, which we started this whole thing of, because not only did the psalmist say, this is how it's created, God founded this earth, you know, upon the waters and so on and so forth, but it immediately goes into a question. And this is the question of all time. Who shall ascend the mountain of God? What's behind that? Who will get back to God's Eden?
Mm.
Lost origins.
Mm-hmm.
To get back to that which our souls long for.
Yeah.
There cannot be peace when you're singing your own thing. It becomes a cacophony,
yeah,
right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so many of our lives, that's what it is. It's just a cacophony of noise.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But peace is getting into tune with that heavenly chorus.
Yeah. And we can do that better by silence and prayer and...
Silence, but you know something, Danny? It's the Mass. Okay?
Mm.
It's the Mass. The Mass, nothing like the Mass gets us into tune with heaven's music,
mm-hmm.
because it brings heaven and earth together.
Yeah.
Right? And at the fall, as we shall see, heaven and earth are separated.
Yeah.
Now, because we want to live by our senses like the devil wanted us to do, we no longer live by the spirit of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we become like troglodytes, cave dwellers,
mm-hmm.
sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, it's as opposed to living with that ideal of
yeah.
ascending the mount of God. And almost all the church fathers speak of the spiritual life as an ascent. In other words, we got to get back into the garden.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And so going to Mass, being in the Eucharist and in that prayer, immersed in that.
The Eucharist is eating from the tree of life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's no longer barred from us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the Mass is, divine. It's heavenly. You know, Danny, you have to have good taste. A lot of people go into Mass and say, oh, you know, like that, you know, just, you know, ritual, just, you know, the same thing over and over again. God is an acquired taste.
Yeah, well, that, yes. And
right.
a lot of people haven't acquired the taste.
That's
I mean, that's
right.
That's a lot
right.
of the issue
that's right.
here.
And that's who shall ascend the mountain of God, is really acquiring a taste for heaven.
Yeah.
And we do it through the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way of saying it, is who shall ascend the Mount of God. Well, we do that every Sunday. That's why the stairs of the church were always, you always ascended. And then, of course, the sanctuary, you always ascend up into the sanctuary.
Right, sure.
It is an ascent. Who shall ascend the Garden of God?
And that's what keeps us or shifts our thought away from evil. We become a better person. Those graces help us to move away from that, the whole idea of evil in our lives.
That's why when we come to Mass, we come in repentance, the sacrament of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the biggest reading, Danny, that we don't get the Mass, and it just seems like rote, is we're coming in there with our sins.
Sure, yeah.
Right. When we come in with a clean conscience, all of a sudden we have pure eyes to be able to see God, because only the pure of heart can see God.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the issue there.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I think we've covered the whole idea of where did it come from?
Right.
And why did God, quote unquote, allow it to occur?
Yeah. And Danny, you know, if you ask anybody in the street, you know, where did evil come from? They'll just shrug and say, I don't know. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sure, of course.
And if you're an evolutionist, you know, you think, well, you know, how we build things, all of a sudden there's a problem in the system, and that's what it is. You know, like that. People miss the fact that sin is linked to death.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to go the next time.
Good. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another Deep Dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.